Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Chav Gimel. We're holding the final line on Chav Beis Amud Beis. And you'll recall that we learned at the tail end of yesterday's daf the inyan of Groma Benizokin is Osur. And even if you hold that Loi Doin or Ein Doin Dina Dagarmi, and therefore there's a Ptur on Tashlumin, but an Isser is still there to go and be Goyrim a Hezek. So based on this, the Gemara is going to talk further in this inyan. The Gemara tells us a story. Rav Yosef Havalei Hano'u Tali. Rav Yosef owned an orchard in which he had, says Rashi, Dekolim Ktanim, small, short palm trees. The Hav Osu Umni V'yasvi Tusayu. Now the Umni used to come. Umni we've had already many times. Those are the Mekize Dam, those that were the bloodletters. The reason why the Gemara told us that these Tali Kolim Ktanim is because, as you know, if you've ever been to Miami Beach and you see the tall palm trees, you cannot sit underneath the palm trees and get a lot of shade, because typically they're very tall, and any shade you'd have to be, you know, 20 or 30 feet tall. So therefore these are still small palm trees. And also Umni, and you had the Mekize Dam, the blood letters, V'yasi Tusayu, and they would do their job underneath these trees. As a result, blood flowed. Some of the blood didn't necessarily flow only into a container. Some of it fell onto the ground. But also Urvi, and then ravens or crows would come, and Achli, Dama, they would eat some of that dam. Visalki, and then they would go and fly up to or sit on the Abe Tali, on the higher branches of the palm tree. Umifsini Tamri, as you know, on palm trees, dates grow, and unfortunately some of the dates got ruined as a result of these Orvim, of the result of these ravens. Okay. Umul Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, Afikuli Kurkur Mehocha, Sushenginuk, I can't stand these crows, these ravens anymore, with all the bloody mess. Get the whole thing out of here. Now, although, of course, he's focusing on the Orvin, the reason why the Gemara uses the term Kurkur, says Rashi, because when the Orvin makes sounds, their sounds sound like Kur, Kur. So that's why he said, get these Orvin out of here. But he was not really referring to the Orvin as much as he's referring to the Mekize Dam. And he said, I don't want the Mekize Dam to go and let out blood any longer here on my property, because as a result, it attracts these Orvim, and I can't take it anymore. Only talking about a goyim. These Mekize Dam are not doing the actual hefsid. It's because they're Mekize Dam. The Orvim come. The Orvim come and take their meal. They eat from the blood, drink from the blood, and then they go up and they're mafsid the tamarim. It's not the Mekize Dam that are mafsid tamarim. It's only an indirect cause. It's a grama. Amalesi told him, Hachi Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, and he quotes the Gemara of yesterday, Zoysi Meretz, from this we see, Grama Benizakim is Asur, even though it's only a Grama, you didn't do it directly, that's also Asur. Freytimor Va'achsik Luhu, these Mekize Dam have been doing their bloodletting now for the last 3 years, so they have a Chazaka, just like a Cheskes Karka. After they have a Chazaka, how can you throw them out any longer? Ha'omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Ravua. Ein chazok al nizakin. Oh, but didn't we learn that there is no chazok al nizakin? So therefore, says Rav Yosef, they could be here for 20 years. Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Ravua said, there is no din of chazaka b'nizakin. So Tumar Vavit, my love, but don't you remember that Rav Meri, Omer Bekutu, Rav Zvid, Omer Vabesa Kisei, not by every nizakin, only big time hezek, like Kutra. Kutra means smoke that comes out of a furnace. And Tosis says we're not just talking about out of a little stove. We're talking about a kivshon, a big, big furnace. Shu gadol umachzik biyoser. I'm reading from the fourth Tosis here on the Amud beKutra. Near the read the dafka beKutra, the kivshon shu gadol umachzik biyoser. Then ein chazaka, and that's why it says in Bava Kama ein oisim kivshonis b'yerushalayim. because of the kutra. So this is what Rameri said. When you're talking about huge amounts of smoke which is coming out of a furnace, that the on that we say that ein chazokel nizok. And even though this has been going on now for 5 years or 10 years, you can put a stop to it and say, I don't care. There's no such chazokel by kutra. Same thing Rav Zvid Omer beBeis Akisei. Beis Akisei is if you have. We're not talking about the modern day bathrooms, which have all these smelling salts in them, and they smell sweeter and nicer than any other room in the apartment. We're talking about outhouses where the stench was geferlich. But not just in any outhouse. Most outhouses, certainly in the good old days, had deep holes in the ground where the urine or the excrement would settle on the bottom. So that was bad enough. Here, Rashi and Tosfos both say somebody the basic kisei, third line from the top, shall gabe karka v'nir le'inayim. Any tzoya, any glolim, you see it and you smell it. It's not a question of ein adoimish shmiel or ear. Here you got the shmiel mit or ear mit the ganze zach. You smell it, you see it, and it's keferach. On that type of basic kisei, ein chazak. So therefore, what the Gemara is saying is, Rav Yosef, that we say in Chazak l'Nizakin is only by big time hazik, tremendous amounts of smoke which are coming out of huge kifshainis, not little ovens, little stoves, we're talking about major furnaces, as well as the terrible stench of a biskise where the tzoya is visible and rarely smelt. See, that's the continuation of the toises that we're seeing before. The dafke nami besakise shalahen. This toy to show you the malam and a karka. It was above ground, not under the ground. But you must riach be yoiser. Al bishalano our batikisois shumachusa. You don't see it. Yeish chazaka. Then you could have a chazaka after 3 years. So bottom line is what our Gemara is telling us is Rav Yosef. How can you throw out these makizei dam? They've been here for 3 years already, and therefore they have a chazaka. And even though we say ein chazaka nizakim, that's only if you're talking about big, heavy-duty type of nizakin, such as kutra beis kise, but not just small-time makizei dam, where the orvim are being mafsid the tomorrow. Amalei responded, Rav Yosef, hani ledidi danina datoi ki kutra ubeis kise domoli. What's going on here with the makizei dam, combined with the orvim, to me, that is making such a terrible hezek because I am anine datoy. Anine datoy means that I am a very, the Gemara calls it an istinus, person who is very delicate and fragile, and a little nothing causes the person tremendous anguish and pain. Says Rav Yosef, I'm one of these istinuses, and this type of damage that's going on with the orvim is to me like kutra ubeis kise. And in fact, Tosfos says, this is not the only time we find Rav Yosef saying this. If you look at the next toises, five toises in, halfway down, l'didi danina datoy, pirish, show you istinis, ken amrina ba'arvi psachim, the Gemara tells us, shloisha chayeim enim chayim. Three people, unfortunately, have difficulties in living. Those are harachmanim, those people that I just have an overwhelming amount of rachmanis and everyone and everything. You know, you're going to have water bugs going and walking all over your body, and can't go and kill it. You have to have farachma val kol masav. You have bees and mosquitoes biting at you or stinging you. What am I supposed to do? You got to have rachmanis. Or harashanim, those that get angry very easily. Vanini hadas, and those that are istinuses. Rav Yosef v'kula istnavi. I have all three of those malis, and therefore my life is not an easy life. Besides the fact that Rabbi Yosef was also a sagi nohar, which only made things even more complicated. Yet, nevertheless, with all of these, if you will, deficiencies or problems, nevertheless, the Gemara says at the end of Masechta Sairius that Rabbi Yosef was Sinai. He knew Kol HaTorah Kula on his fingertips, just like it was given at Sinai, which fits in very well with the fact that he was blind, unfortunately, so he couldn't make notes, he couldn't look anything up. Not that they had any real svarim in those days, but everything he had to commit to memory, and that's how he knew Kol HaTorah Kula on his fingertips. He was a Sinai. Finally, what is the big hezek over here? Let's look at the next Toisviz. Kikutra ubeisa kise domu. V'hodika omra afiku kurkur mihacha. Mashmede mishum orvim hoya oimer. He was upset about the orvin, about the crows, about the ravens. Vadi imloy hoyu orvin hoya soiva. If there were no orvim, he would have been able to tolerate the mekizei dam that were letting out blood. Avagav danina date, even though he was an istinus. But his major problem was with the crows and the crowing, the kurkurs of these orvin that probably couldn't allow him to sleep at night, and they couldn't allow him to learn during the day. They were constantly making this kurkur sound, and that's why he said, "Get him out of here." But inami, says Toisus, what the Orvim would do is they would eat from the dam, and then they got their hands, their claws, their beaks all dirty and soiled with the dam. So then they would fly up, and they would clean themselves off. They didn't, you see, they should take along shmatis or tissues, but they didn't have any. So what did they do? So therefore, all the tamarim, all those dates got full of blood. And they were bloody dates, and says Rav Yossi, I can't stand this. Every time they want to offer me a date, I have to wash it three times because of all the blood on it. Okay. Anyway, what we see from this Gemara is that Geroma ben Izakin is Asur, and that generally Ein Chazak ben Izakin, except for big time Heziks, then, normally we say there is a chazak l'nizakin, unless there is a big time hezek such as kutra or besekisei, or if you're talking about a person that is an istinus, here too, no chazak l'nizakin. And we're going to make a short reference to it once again further down on the amud. And we start a new mishnah. Zok mishnah. Marchikin es ha-shoivach min ha'ir chamishim ama. A shoivach, as we've had many times, is a dovecot. A dovecot is similar to a chicken coop. But instead of having little chicks and chickens living in the chicken coop, you have doves living in this dovecot. You have to be marchik min o'ir. In other words, generally, shoivchim were not in the city, they were outside of the city. So wherever you're placing them, place them at least chamishim amma, 50 amas away from the city. And the reason for that is, says Rashi, because the yoinim would fly and they would peck on and they would eat zir'oine ginois. After the Balabatim would go and plant Zeroinim seeds in their fields, before they had a chance to grow, the doves would come and swoop up or swoop down, and they would eat some of those Zeroinim, and therefore they were mafsid the fields. So, you gotta be marchik your mazik, send the shoivach away 50 amas. Furthermore, v'layasa odim shoivach b'toich shaloi, elim kein yesh lechamishim amma l'chol ruach. If a person has his shoivach in the middle of, let's say, a field outside the city, or stuck outside the city. However, there are other fields which are surrounding him also outside the city. So it's not enough that he's marching to shoivach min ir chamishim amah, because maybe the doves in his shoivach are going to fly to the field next door, to the right and to the left, where they're going to spoil and ruin the field. So therefore, you have to have arum and arum on all sides of the shoivach 50 amas, so that the doves will not go that far and damage the neighbors' properties. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, 50 is not enough. You have to base arbas kurim malei sheger hayoin. Sheger hayoin means not as the crow flies, but as the dove flies. We have to allow enough room for the doves to fly. And how much does a dove usually fly? Up to a kur. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, a room in a room, wherever your shoivach is, you have to make sure you have a one kur on each side. So if you add all the kurs on each side, you get the four kurim all together. What is the shear of a kur? So the Toisus Yomtzeh makes a very simple cheshbon. We all know that the Mishkan, the area of the Mishkan was 5,000 square amas, because it was 50 by 100. That the Torah tells us, the dimensions of the chotzer of the Mishkan is 50 by 100, so that's 5,000 square amas. Now, the Chazal referred to that as sosayim kechotzer ha-mishkan. So the chotzer Mishkan, which is 5,000, is 2 base so'a. Sosayim kechotzer ha-mishkan. That being the case, we all know that a kor has in it 30 sa'ah. Kor has 30 sa'ah. Here we're saying that 2 sa'ah is 5,000 square amis. So 15 times 2 equals 30. 15 times 5,000 equals 75,000 square amis. So now if you take your calculator and you take the square root of 75,000, you'll see it's 273 times 273. So therefore, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, it's not 50 amos in each direction, it has to be 273 amos in each direction, because that's as far as a yoina flies. V'makochai, what happens if you bought a shoivach, which is already a pre-existing shoivach, on a plot of land, afilu beis roiva v'cheskosai, even if you only have a beis roiva in front or on all sides of the shoivach, the art scroll makes a cheshbon that a beis roiva is all of 10 amos in each direction, so it doesn't have to be 50, it doesn't have to be 273, you bought a fertig shoivach, and this shoivach had already been there for more than 3 years, so it already had a chazaka, and we said already before that yesh chazaka l'nizakim, unless you're talking about big time heziks like Kutra or Beis HaKiseh. Ah, so therefore, even if it only has 10 amos, a room and a room, is enough. And in fact, the Meiri says, 10 amos lav dafka. Even if you only have 3 tvachim, a room and a room. You bought the shoivach the way it was. The shoivach already had established a chazaka in the community. Usually when you say that it established a chazaka, it's not because people tolerated it for 3 years. It means that he negotiated with his neighbors as to a price to pay for having a shoivach there. So he paid each one of them $100 or $1,000 or whatever. Or maybe he would draw the water every morning for all of his neighbors. And they said, okay, in that schuz, you can go and keep your shoivach there. So it had a chazaka for more than 3 years. And now if somebody bought that property in the shoivach, he retains the chazaka of his predecessor. Okay, going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, we said that normally a dove, you have to be marchik a shoivach b'ne'ir chamisha mama, and the presumption is because the Tanakhama holds that a dove normally flies up to 50 amis from its residence. Freit mor chamisha amis v'suloi vor mini. I'll ask you a kasha. In Mesechtes Bava Kama we learned that ein person nishben liyoinim elam keno yerochik min ha'yishav shloishim ris. In parsa means you cannot spread out. Nishbin means a net or traps. Liyoyim to catch doves. Unless it was far away from the yishuv, from the town, from the village where people lived. At least shloishim ris. How much is shloishim ris? Rashi says it's arba milin. Arba milin is the same thing as a parsa. It's curious why the Gemara refers to the shloishim ris instead of just saying a parsa. But Tosis in the bottom says, we find that the Gemara is sometimes uses this expression, sometimes uses that expression. In other words, Nishka Ferlech, there are, see if you look at there's a Tosis, last line of the middle wide lines, first line of the big wide lines, Umkin Hirchik Shloishim Ris, Hainu, first wide line, Hainu Dalet Mil, Rashi says also 4 milen, Da Mil Zayin Ris, Umechza, each mil is 7.5, so therefore, 4 times 7.5 gets you 30. Upa'amim shagamar noisin shir verisim. Upa'amim shim b'milin. Upa'amim b'parsa. You know, sometimes they use these terms interchangeably. So when you see here now, shloishim ris, think of a parsa. And how much is a parsa? Parsa is 4 mil. And how much is a mil? 2,000 amas. How much is 4 times 2,000 amas? 8,000 amas. You're telling me in the Mishnah you only have to be marchik chamisha mama. You have to go and set aside your traps and your nets 8,000 amis away from the yishuv, from the city, from the air, because otherwise if a dove falls into your net, you're going to now be quote-unquote stealing from the person that owns the shoivach and owns these yoinim. So you gotta take your nets and your traps far, far away, with the assumption that any dove that you're going to catch will not be from the local yishuv's shoivach, but it'll be a hefkadika bird that's coming somewhere from Australia or whatever. And so you see that it travels much, much further than the 50 amas. Amar Abaye, Meishichaiti Tuva. A yoinik can go and fly long distances. Ukrasayim Achamishim Amsa Malia. However, once it fills itself up in 50 amas, it doesn't eat anything more. So what the Gemara means to say is, the shoivach leaves, the yoina leaves its shoivach. It starts flying. It's hungry. It sees these zeroinim, these seeds, in the local ginois. Once it eats up enough to fill itself up, then it can go and travel on for another 1,000 amas, 2,000 amas. It won't eat anything more, however, than the 50 amas, because it doesn't want to get obese, and it doesn't want to have to do the banding surgery or use these new medicines. So therefore it knows to keep its diet to be slim and trim, and only eat in 50 amas. So therefore that's all you have to be marchik, the shoyvich min ir 50 amas, because the whole concern is that it's going to be mazik and eat up the zeroinen, eat up the seeds. Beyond 50 amas, it's not going to eat anymore. Freitimor, but it's mashma from that halacha from the Sechtes Bavakama, who meshit shloishim riz, that it only flies a distance of these 30 ris, of these 4 mil. Say Gemara, v'suloy, and not more than that. V'atani will under the braisa. Ubi yishuv, afilu meya mil lo yifrois. If you're talking about in the yishuv itself, the previous part we said, in porzen nishben, elam ken hayarachik min ha-yishuv. But what about in the yishuv itself? If you have doves, the doves can fly, afilu meya mil lo yifrois. Don't even spread out a net to capture doves, even with a 100 mil radius, because they fly very far. So we're not talking about 4 mil. Now we're talking about meya mil. So what's going on over here? Every Amr of Yosef Amr be Yishuv Kromen, Rav Amr be Yishuv Shoifchen. Meaning, we thought until now that the Yishuv we were talking about is where people reside, and that's of course the first part of that Mishnah. That ain't person literally. Oynim can hayirachim min hayishuv. People reside there. Shloi shemris. Keep them away. Shloi shemris, because that's where you have shoifchim in the community, and therefore you have to distance your net or your traps, not to go and steal somebody else's yoyim. Now over here we're talking about if you have a yishuv of kromen, which means numerous vineyards one after the other, a whole valley, for instance, where you have these kromen. Some of the wines come from, you know, they have on their labels, they come from special valleys. So wines grow often among many, many, many vineyards in a large area, like a large valley. So when you have such a yishuv kromen, then the birds tend to fly much, much more. If you look at the Rashi of yishuv kromen, porchin mi kerem le kerem bishotim harbe. They go from one kerem to the next, to the next, to the next, and they can go on for even 100 mil. Rava says, B'yishuv shoifchim, we're talking about not that there were many kromen, but that there were a lot of shoifchim together, one after the other. And once again, although the dove normally doesn't go more than the 4 mil, but if there is a whole row and series of dove cuts, one after the other, it has a certain degree of comfort and familiarity, and it can go even 100 mil. But that's unusual circumstance, yishuv kromen, yishuv shoifchim. So therefore, in those situations, don't spread out your net, even 100 mil, because the bird may have flown even 100 mil from where it normally lives, because of the comfort zone that all these shoifchim, from shoivach 1 till shoivach 1,000, it has flown the coop, so to speak, literally, all the way 100 mil. So over there, don't even put out your net there. Freiti Mara, why are you concerned about 100 mil from the initial yishuv where the bird lives and resides? If you're telling me that there are 100 or 1,000 shofchim one after the other, the reason why you cannot go and put out your net is because your net is right next to shoivich number 100 or shoivich number 1,000, wherever your net is, having nothing to do with the original yishuv where the dove lives in that first shoivach, even 1,000 shofchim later, because maybe it's from shoivach number 1,000. Everything are three turuts. All of these shofchim belonged to him. He was a major magnate that owned thousands, maybe millions of doves, and therefore he had numerous shofchim. Any dog that came out from those shofchim were his. So that's not an issue. The issue is that the first shoivach that starts out in the yishuv, before we got to this yishuv of shoivchim, that one belonged to somebody else, Yankel Smith or Beryl Jones. And so therefore don't put your net out even after the 1,000 shofchim, because this may be a dove that comes all the way from the yishuv from 1,000 shofchim previously and has flown the coop this 100 mil. That's why you can't do it. You don't have to worry about from the local shofchim. Those belong to him. It's talking about that it belongs to a Kanani. So what's the answer? Gezel Akum is Asur. But back in Bava Kama, we learned that when it comes to the shofchim, the only Isser of Gezel is only Drabonon Mishum Darkisholim. What's the Darkisholim? Or maybe Tikkun Olam, maybe. What's the Tikkun Olam over here? Because no dove is wedded to a particular shoivach. It's not as if, you know, they registered and they have to pay their bills as if they are guests in a hotel or something like that. But rather, all doves fly around and they ultimately decide in the evening when they want to go to sleep to go and find whichever shoivach is handy or which is closest, and they move in and they go to sleep for the night. So anytime a dove is flying from a shoivach, no one really has a kinyan on these doves, because the doves fly the coop every single day. So whenever you say that the doves belong to you, it's not really a kinyan deraisa. It's derabanan al tikkun olam. You know, you don't want people to go and go from shoivach to shoivach and take nets and scoop away all of the yoinim. So we say it belongs to that owner, but it doesn't really belong to him minatoy. So therefore, when the Chum made their tikkun olam, they only made it for Yidden and not for the Kanana. The Yibay Yisayim and the Hefker, that these Shoifchim have been there now for the last 1,000 years, they don't belong to anybody. They're just standing there. They probably belonged to somebody many, many years ago, but they were abandoned many years ago. So therefore, you don't have to worry about catching a dove from the Shoivach, but you do have to worry about catching that first dove all the way from the original Yishuv, which actually belongs to someone. Okay, getting back to the Mishnah. Now the V'chuli is really going on the final halach of the Mishnah, which is that if somebody bought a shoivach in the middle of a piece of property, a filled base roiva, even if on all sides it only has that small parcel of land of 10 amis in the front and 10 amis in the back, you can rely on the chazaka of your predecessor. Even though you have no idea how he got his chazaka, you just know that he had it for at least 3 years. You bought it from him. You succeed to his chazaka rights. Zomra Papa Visim Rav Zvid, Zoy Semeres, from our Mishnah, we can derive Tri'anam Lekech, the Tri'anam Le Yoyresh. What does the Gemara mean? So Rashi tells us, whenever you have a chazaka, it's got to be a chazaka Sheyesh Imoitaina, which means, I go to someone and ask him, what are you doing in this field? He says, what do you mean what I'm doing in this field? I've been here already for 3 years. That's not enough. How did it get to you in the first place? Well, nobody protested. Nobody said boo. So I've been here for 3 years. That is not a legally binding chazak. He has to go and have a chazak shi'eshi moitayna, which means he has to go and say, I was there for 3 years. I did not hold on to my shtar because I bought it 3 years ago from Yankel Smith. Or, this property used to belong to my father. Or, Beryl Jones gave it to me for a present. You can put the two together. A chazaka shiyesh imay taina. If you have no taina, just rather, don't bother me. I've been here for 3 years. I have Aiden that I've been here for 3 years. That doesn't win the litigation. To win the case, you have to have a taina. How did it get to you in the first place? That's what Rashi brings from later on in Cheskes Sabbat. Now, our Gemara is talking about a person that bought this property from someone else. He knows that that person had a chazaka, there are three pairs of Edom, but he doesn't know how his predecessor got the property. So I would say, well, chazaka she'ein imoy taina. Says our Gemara, from our Mishnah we see that by Elokeach, Tainina Elokeach, that if this goes into Bezdin, and the person says, what are you doing over here in this property? Or why wasn't he Marchik Kishoy V'chalis 50 Amas? So he says, what do you want from me? I bought it from Yankel Smith, and he had it for 3 years, and we have a Chazaka. How did Yankel Smith get a Chazaka? I don't know. Did he buy it from someone? I don't know. Was it did he yarshin from his father? I don't know. From our Mishnah, we see that he doesn't need to know, because the Bezin will say, and your predecessor probably bought it from someone, or yarshin it from his father, or he got it as a present, or whatever. So that's what we call Toyanan Levekech. Now the Gemara says, not a Levekech, the same thing will be a Yoyrish, that if you have an orphan whose father passed away, and he had a property for 3 years, and now the Yoyrish is sitting in that property, and you're asking him, hey, what's the basis of your Chazaka? What do you mean? I was here for 3 years. Yeah, but what's your Taina? What happened before the 3 years? I don't know. I wasn't around, you know. I was a baby then, or whatever. So says the Gemara, just like we see from our Mishnah, Tiyanan Lekech, or also Tiyanan Yoyrish. So Frank Gemara, what do I need to add on? Our Mishnah doesn't talk about a Yoyrish. Our Mishnah talks about a Lekech. But the Gemara is just assuming that Lekech and Yoyrish are in the same situation. So just like we're talking for the Lekech, we're also talking for the Yoyrish. Frank Gemara, why do you have to throw that in, Rav Papa or Rav Zvid? Yoyrish have a Beferish and Mishnah. Yoyrish Tanino. The Mishnah says Beferish, that if you're coming because of Yerusha, you don't need a Taina. All you have to go and say is, my father was there for 3 years and I yarshined it from him. So Timur, you're right. Yerush is only thrown in Kilachar Yad. Lekeach it's Strichalei. Really, the Mishnah is telling us the din of Lekeach, the Tanin of Lekeach. You don't need to know the source of the 3 years. The Bezin will supply and say, probably your predecessor bought it, yarshined it, or whatever. Pray to Mar Lekeach Nami Tanina. That I also have a Beferish Mishnah. Where do I have a Beferish Mishnah? We have later on in Yetzishem, in our Masechta, Loka Chotzer Ubaziz and Ugusus Trois, person who bought a Chotzer and he had ledges and protrusions coming out from the building. Harizim Bechaskosa, if you bought it and these Ziz and Ugusus Trois were pre-existing, then you have a Chazaka on it. I normally are not allowed to have these Ziz and Ugusus Trois sticking out from your building. The reason is because Chas v'Shalom, someone can get hurt. So if you look at the Mishnah, not the Mishnah, the Rashi, 4 lines before the wide lines down below, look, achotze uba zizin, b'masis mechesk sabatim tanan, ein moitzian zizin gestroyis l'rishus ha-rabim, which means odem aboy lebayis, a person who is building a house next to rishus ha-rabim, lo yoitzi rashi koirois, to cross rishus ha-rabim, don't allow for the beams at the top of his roof to extend beyond the roof into Rishalayim, because Chas v'Shalom, someone can get hurt. That he can do, which means if you happen to have your property adjacent to the Rishus HaRabim, don't build it all the way to the boundary of Rishus HaRabim, and then have these Zizin Gzustrois protruding into Rishus HaRabim. But what you can do is build your house by receding it 5 or 10 or 20 amos from the boundary with the Rishus HaRabim. And then if you have these Ziz and Gzus Trois, it's on your own property. I, from time to time, people from Rishus HaRabim are going to squeeze into your property if it's a heavy traffic day. Well then, caveat emptor, be careful. If you're going onto the other person's property, even though you have the right to go on the property on heavy traffic days, but nevertheless, it's not your, it's your problem if you are going to the other person's property to watch out for the Ziz and Gzus Trois. So now a person went and bought that property next to Rishus HaRabim, and there's Ziz and Gzus Trois which are protruding, and now people come and are protesting and saying, you're not allowed to go and have a property with Ziz and Gzus Trois. So he says, I don't know the situation. All I know is that I bought this property from Yankel Smith, and I know that he had a chazaka of 3 years, and so therefore I have a chazaka, and I'm just succeeding to the chazaka. Yeah, but how did Yankel Smith get a chazaka? You can't have a chazaka on having Ziz and Gzus Trois out there. It has to be chazaka sheyesh imay taina. What would be the taina that when he built the house, originally he didn't build it on the boundary line of the Rosh Hashanah, but it was built, receded into his property, so that the gezizim, because the strays, are protruding on his own property. But I don't know that. So the Bezin will supply those words and say, probably your predecessor had his property receded into the Shusayachid, and therefore that's why you don't have a problem. So I see both from our Mishnah, that's Tiyan al-Lekech, and I see from that other Mishnah, Tiyan al-Lekech. The question is, why do I need Rabbeinu HaKadosh to tell us this twice?
Says more, yes. What he's saying is the Rosh Hashanah extended now into what used to be his private property. Like, how did he happen if he built it into his private property? Then now the Rosh Hashanah is now underneath the Zizim. It doesn't...
We're not saying that legal Rosh Hashanah. Legal Rosh Hashanah is wherever the border, wherever the boundary ends, that's where the Rosh Hashanah ends. However, if there is no fence or if there's no wall, we've already had the Gemara, you recall, in the beginning of the Masechta, it says that's why they wanted to go and make fences and a base sha'ar, so that the Rosh Hashanah people shouldn't come in by accident or on purpose onto the other person's properties. And the Gemara said that under normal circumstances, without the base sha'ar, if it's a heavy trafficked day, people will often walk over the borderline or the boundary. There might not even be any sign showing that this is private property, but they will just walk there because it kanayin hara. There are thousands of people. There's not enough room in the 16 amma wide Rosh Hashanah. So they're trespassing, if you will, but they're trespassing the heter on the other person's property. It's like a meitzer shechziku bei rabim, where you cannot be moicha, you can't throw them out. Fine. So now I have this house. Apparently they've lost the records of where this house is, or this chutzah's meets and bounds begin and end. And so therefore the people are saying, hey, people are walking on right next to your house and they're getting hit in the head. Their hats are falling off, or they're getting lacerations in their on the side of their heads from hitting these seasonal destroys. It's terrible. So now, if it was the original owner, he would say, mister, you should be the person that's locked up. You're trespassing on my property. But I'm allowing you to walk there. That's fine. But don't complain. But the purchaser, he doesn't know that. The purchaser just knows that there's a 3-year chazakah that these zizim destroys have been extending there for years. So now it's a taina. It's a chazakah she'ein imoy taina. Says the Mishnah over there that the bezin will supply the taina. The bezin will say it must be that the predecessor, when he built his property, it was receded onto his land, and see if all the seeds of the destroyers are on his land. And or, says Rashi, it could be that he had a meeting with the Shivat Tuve Yair, with the Rosh Hashanah people, and he was mafayas them. He paid them and said, I know that you're upset about my Zizik Zustroyes, but I'm going to pay everybody a certain amount of money. You see the last two lines, there's a Rashi that begins, Loka Chotzer Baziz, and we looked at the first half of the Rashi. Now, if you look at the second wide line of the Rashi down below, second wide line in the middle of the line. Vimloka Chotzer, if a person bought a Chotzer, Uba Zizim, Ukzestroyes, Yotzel Shusarabim, Harihumichas Kosa, it has a chazaka because this is the way it's been for the last 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Shebezim Te'anim Lai, even though he, the Lekech, doesn't really know the history, the Bezim will tie in and say Shaharisha and his predecessor, Kanas Latarshila, he must have built them, receded into the property, and therefore it was Heter. Oh, he despised the Rabbi, he worked it out, he appeased the Rabbi somehow, he gave out free ice cream for a month, and therefore everybody was satisfied and nobody complained. So somehow or other he took care of them. So getting back to our Gemara now, so he says Gemara, both in our Mishnah we're saying that if you bought a Shoivach with only a base Roiva in front of that, that's fine, Hariu B'chez Kasa, even though I, the purchaser, don't know how or where or when there was the Taina. I just know there's a Chazak of 3 years, but I don't know the preceding history. So it was a Taina, it's a Chazak She'eni my Taina. The Bezin supplies the Taina and says it's okay, just like we have by the Zizin case. So tomorrow, three, what do I need both cases? Dishwin Hossam, Gabi Jusser Rabbin, the Aimer Koinis of Toshaloyu. Maybe he was Koinis of Toshaloyu, like Rashi said, that he moved his property in before he built his wall, so the Zizinuk Zestroyes were on his property. Or it could be that the Bnei Rishis Rabban said, even though it's sticking out into Rishis Rabban, he said, it's okay, Yanko, it's fine, we'll be careful. They were Michael. Avul Hochaloi, and here in the case of the Shoivach, maybe not. You don't say that it was Koinis B'Tor Shaloi. That's not going to help you, Koinis B'Tor Shaloi, because it's only a base Roiva, a room in a room. So you don't have that Svar. And you don't have Bnei Rishis Rabban to be Michael. Avul Hochaloi. The Iyashmin and Hochav, you're going to tell us only by the Kibs of the Shoivach, the Kim of the Yachadu, Eva Piyuse Paisa. Here it's much more mistaver that since you're talking about a Shoivach of a Yachid in the middle of a couple of fields, so then you're only dealing with Yechidim, it's much easier to go and say, he called up his neighbor one day, they sat down at a table, they negotiated a deal, he paid him $100, and he said, okay, you can keep your Shoivach there. I'm not worried about your doves anymore. Inami ichul yachul gabe. They were good shchenim, they're good friends. And he says, okay, it's all right. It doesn't bother me. Avraham man pious. Who can you appeal to but the rabbim? You know, there are hundreds and thousands of people walking back and forth. You're going to go and speak to every one of them. Uman shavik. So who's going to permit him? Who's going to be moichel? Any maloi, so I would think maybe not. Tzricha, therefore you have to have both cases that tainin lilekeach, both in our case of the shoivach, and in the case of the Zizin as Zustrois. Now the Mishnah says, Haru b'ches kosoi. You can keep the Shoivach there, even though the doves are damaging the local ginois by eating from the seat. Frank Timora, Ayiv Om Rav Nachman, Om Rav Ravua, Ein Chazok L'Nizokin. Didn't we say a few minutes ago, even though you had it for the last 3 years, for the last 20 years, there's no Chazok L'Nizokin. So how does it help that there's been a Shoivach there for years? Everything more like Limar said before. Normally, yesh chazaka l'nizakin. There are exceptions to the rule when it's really unbearable. Amari Amar de Kutra, if you're talking about a major furnace where it's spitting out huge amounts of smoke all the time, black smoke, oh, that type of stuff, then there's no chazaka. That's it. Amar Beisa Kisa, if you have a Beisa Kisa, which is, as you remember, Rashi and Toysu said that it's al gabe karka, where you see the tzoya and you smell it and it's geferlich, a terrible stench, then you can have it there for 50 years, you can still be moicha, there is no chazaka for these terrible, terrible hezek. And on to the next Mishnah on the Yomid Beis. Nipple on nimtze b'teich ha-mishim amah. A nipple, explains Rashi, is a goizel. You find a little pigeon, which is nimtze b'teich ha-mishim amah, within 50 amos of a shoivach, of the dovecot. And therefore it makes sense to say, that since this pigeon is so small, and we're going to talk about in the Gemara, Mir Tashem, that we're talking about a medadeh. Medadeh means that it's so small it doesn't even fly. It just hops around. So it's mestaver that it belongs to the shoivach, which was b'toy chamishim ava. The Mishnah really leaves out two words. It should say, nipple and nimtze b'toy chamishim ama, shel shoivach. Rashi supplies those words at the top. How do you assume about shoivach? Then you assume it came from that shoivach. Chutz mechamishim ama, if it's beyond chamishim ama, harihu shel moitze, then I'm going to assume that it came from somewhere else, and therefore you can keep it. Nimtze bein shnei shoivachos. What happens if you find this nipple in between two shoivachos? And Rashi says the two shoivachos were betoich chamishim lishneiim, within the 50 amas. So I don't know whether the dove came from shoivach number one or shoivach number two. Then karel zeh shaloi. See how far it is. Let's assume that in between the shoivachos there was 40 amas. Good. And you find this pigeon within 10 amas of the shoivach on the right, which means that it's 30 amas from the shoivach on the left. Okay, so it probably came from the karv, the one that is closer. Not that I know for sure, but probably. It's karv lezeh shaloi, karv lezeh shaloi. Whichever one is close. Mechza mechza. What happens if you find the nipple in between? It's 40 amas, and you find it on the 20 amma line, smack in the middle between the two. Then, yachloiku, then you can go, shneim yachloiku, the two should go and split it down the middle. Okay, amar abchanina, zokti gemara. Roiv v'karv holchen achar haroiv. What the Gemara is telling us is that we have two famous rules of jurisprudence, that all courts abide by these rules, that even if you don't have clear-cut evidence in form of shtarais or of edim, but you have the rules of roiv v'karev. Then, what are the dinim? So, for instance, the din of roiv is, and the mokar for the din of roiv is, achri rabim lahatois. That if you have a roiv and you have a miut, you go basa roiv. Okay, so that's roiv. Karoiv, karoiv you learn from the halacha of egla arufa. What's the din of egla arufa? It says in the pasuk that if chas v'shalom you find a cholol ba'adama, lo yinoida mihi kahu, you don't know who chas v'shalom killed someone. It says in the pasuk, v'yair hakroiv ela cholol, you find the one that is the closest to the cholol. You have to have the bezin hagodol Yerushalayim send down skenim to go and measure to the closest town, the closest city. And when you find that closest town, then the people from that city have to go and bring an egla rufa. So that's a din of karev. I don't know for sure that this mess came from, or that the reitzeach came from that particular town, but since it's karev, that's a rule of jurisprudence that we learn from the Torah. So now what happens if in the same case you have both roiv and karev? Which rule supersedes or trumps the other rule? Is it the roiv or the karev? Says Rav Chanina, roiv v'karev holchen achar roiv. If alts roiv you would say X, and because of karev you would say Y, follow the roiv. The avagav deruva diaraisa, the kurva diaraisa, even though both of these rules have their mokar, their source in the Torah, like we just said. V'lachi ruba adav, roiv is a stronger rule of jurisprudence than the karev rule. Now the Gemara is going to ask a series of questions. Of course, how did we get into this sukya? Because our Mishnah is talking about a nipple that was found koroif to a particular shoivach. And therefore, we assume it came from that shoivach. Even though there are many other shoivachim around the world, so it could have come from roiv. We see in our Mishnah, we go basak koroif. Ah, so the Gemara is going to bring that as a raya shortly. But in the meantime, we see this halacha of Reb Chanina, roiv is stronger than karev. Moser Reb Zeira, oh yirak roiv elecholo, oh the very case of egla rufa. The avagav de ikachriti de nefisha mina, meaning, what did we say? We find nebuch echol bo adama. We don't know where the reitzeach came from. So there are 3, 4, 5 different towns, villages, and cities in the vicinity. Which one is the closest? You do a medida, and once we determine which is the closest, that's the one that's going to have to bring the egla rufa. The boy said, that town that is closest to the cholol might be a small town that only has in it 500 people. 3 miles further down, there might be a city that has 10,000 people. So where is it more likely that the reitzeach came from? Did it come from the koroiv, that small town next to the cholol, which only had 500 people? Or do you say that, no, maybe it's from the other town, which is 3 miles further down the road, but there they have 10,000 people. So the 10,000, that's obviously roiv compared to the town of 500 people. On the other hand, the town of the 500 people is the one that's karev, that's the one that's closest to the cholol. And what does the Rabbi Nishlom say in the Torah? You go after karev. So you see, when you have roiv and karev, you go after karev, you don't go after the roiv. Even though there are other towns and cities, the nefishim, we know that have more people. They have more people. Why don't you go after those towns? Why do you go after the closest one? Is the chakash and Reb Chanina that says that you always go baser roiv? Here we see you go baser karev. And for the Gemara Bileka. So the Gemara is saying something which is quite unusual. The Gemara is making a new kimta in the Torah. And it's saying, when did the Torah say that you go to the Ir HaKroiva? When all the other towns happen to be of the same general size. Yeah, it could be this is 500, the other one's 550, and the other one's 450. But they're all more or less the same. But in fact, if there is a major difference between one town and the other, maybe Taka the Torah would agree, according to Reb Chanina, you go bust the Roiv and not bust the Karev. But here's a Bideleka. Rashi says, you see Bideleka, Rashi, the fifth or sixth narrow line. Bideleka rechoike mizu shegedoyle mimena. There is no other town or city in the vicinity, which is greater. And the Kulin Shavim, they're all basically all the same size town. Okay, fine. Why are you only looking in the vicinity? Just keep on going. Even if this happened somewhere in the middle of Iowa, where all the towns, a room and a room, only have 500 people. But go to the capital city of Iowa, and there they got 5,000 people or 100,000 people, even though that might be 100 miles away, maybe 1,000 miles away. But who cares? Roy v'karoiv, said Rav Chanini, go basarayv. So why do you assume it's one of the, why do you assume it's the ear which is closest to the chalol? Go and find the biggest city, even if the biggest city is 1,000 miles away. Go basarayv with the alma. And for the Gemara, the Pasuk is talking about the Yosheves Pein Harim, that the town and the cholol were in a secluded area somewhere in the mountains. What does that mean, in the mountains? Rashi says, these were mountains, she'in derech rotzchem lovoi m'mekoymes achirim lakan. It's not enough that it was in the mountains. If you go to the Catskills during the summer, there was a Catskill mountains, and Kanayin Har, you have thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And, or, if you go to the Swiss Alps, you have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people coming. So, it's Yeshevas Bein Aharim. However, says Rashi, it's talking about a place which is so secluded, that ain't there chatzim lovim mekoyim mezachayim lakan. This was not the Catskills, this was not the Swiss Alps. This was a place, a mountainous region, where it was very rare for people, for foreigners, to come and visit. So therefore, you assume it's one of the local towns here, Bein Aharim, since they were all basically the same size in terms of population, so you go bust the car. Okay, fine. Let's go back to our Mishnah now. Tanakh. Nipla nimtza b'toich hamishim amah. You find a little pigeon which within 50 amas of a shoivach. Har yushu ba'al ha-shoivach. Frey timor v'af agav de'ik achrin le'nafesh minei. Even though it's taka closest to this shoivach, but there are other shoivchim further down, which may have many, many more doves than this particular shoivach. So therefore, it's logical that the dove came from the more populous shoivach, which is a mile away, 5 miles away, even though this is karev. But you, Rabbi Chanina, said that roi v'karev holchen achar roi. So why do you automatically assume it belongs to this bala shoivach? Maybe it came from a shoivach further down the hill, or further down the road. Have the more bit of lekka. This is the only shoivach in town. It says in the Mishnah Chutz Mechamisha Amav, if you find a dove which is beyond 50 amos, harihu shel moitzai, then it belongs to the one that found it. Pray tomorrow, Ir Baleka, if this is the only dove cut in town, vada mihu nafal, what are you telling me that it came from somewhere else? Even if it's 60 amos away, even if it's 100 amos away, it must have come from this dove cut because there are no others in town. So, Ibazoi, why do you say it's harihu moitzai? And for the Gemara, we're talking about very young pigeons, like we said in the Mishnah, which are medada. Medada means they cannot fly, they can only hop around. Any medada means any hopping pigeon, the maximum that it can go is 50 amas. And therefore, if you find a dove 51 amas away, you know it's not from this shoivach. How did it get there? Somebody dropped it off. It's been hopping for the last 2 days. Whatever it happens to be. It flew from somewhere. Bottom line is, it's not from this dovecot. Because it's from this dovecot, it cannot hop more than 50 amas. And you found it 51 amas. Right? The Mishnah said, if you find it chutz mechamisha amas, more than 50, harishu moitzai, it's not from this dovecot because such a young bird cannot go more than 50 amas. And this, now we have one of the most famous Reb Yirmiyahs throughout Shas. We're all accustomed to Reb Yirmiyah asking very unusual questions. And elsewhere it says that the reason why Reb Yirmiyah did that was because it was his man of Choshech and Golus. Apparently there were pogroms or what have you. And he, Reb Yirmiyah, wanted to liven up the Talmidei Chacham and the Beis Medrash that they shouldn't feel kind of sour and bitter and all the rest, so he would ask interesting questions. So this is one of those interesting questions. Boy, Rav Yirmiyah, Ragli achas betuch nun ama. Ragli achas chutz mechamishim ama mabu. We said that if the nipple is within 50 amas, it belongs to the Baal HaShofach. If it's beyond the 50 amas, Harishul might say. What happens if the nipple having two legs, the first leg was within the 50 amas, the second one was outside of the 50 amas? What do you say now? Does it belong to the Baal HaShofach, or does it belong to the Moitzai? Mahu. Says Yomar Valdo Afkula Reb Yirmi Beibed Rasha. For this, they threw Reb Yirmi out of Bismedish. Why, says Rashi? She Matriach Aleim. He would go and ask him all of these types of, in Yiddish they would say, he asked klotz kashas. This is really not a klotz kasha, he's asking a shaila. And the shaila is, you know, it's very, very precise and on point. But the assumption is, come on, how motzui is it that you're going to go and find the goizel, this pigeon, exactly 1 foot over and 1 foot over? Come on, this is such a dovish loishchiach. And that's the reason why they got upset at him and they threw him out. Don't feel...
It sounds like the story that led to the people who ate the wishbone from a chicken and bread, she gets the bigger piece.
Okay, I guess it's similar. So they'll have to split the wish down the middle. Whatever their wish is, they'll have to...
Not Nourish type of people do it.
I know exactly what you mean. It's not the only nonsensical thing that people do. But that's how Rashi learns Pshat in our Gemara. Toisis is a little bit upset with this Pshat. If you look at the Toisis, Valdo Afkul Rabbi Yirmin Bibidrasha, it's the third Toisis from the bottom, about 10 lines from the bottom. Ein lefarish v'shem deboi milzit lo shchicha klal. That's not the reason. Tehechi Yisrami, how can you have rag v'yachas toichem ishem, rag v'yachas chutz v'cham ishem, b'tzimtzum? That wasn't the concern. Rather, doshkach ten masis en amibkei gavna ayri. Go back to our Mishnah. In the Mishnah it says, what happens if you find the dove? Mechtze al mechtze, that was the last halach of the Mishnah, smack in the middle, shnei miachloiko. Now it's not the exact same case of Rabbi Yirmiyah, because Rabbi Yirmiyah is talking about that it's on the 50 amma line, 1 foot here and 1 foot there. Our Mishnah is talking about that you found the pigeon in between two shoivchim, and it wasn't closer to one or to the other, but it was down the middle, straight. Oh, so you see, you can have a bird straight down the middle, and the Mishnah says yachloiko. So here too, you could have had the bird in the middle, 1 foot over, 1 foot under. When the Chum gave a midah, don't start going and posturing and speculating and asking questions, because that would undermine the authority of the Chum. If the Chum gave a sheer kezias, don't ask me what happens if it's 0.999 of a kezias. Or if the Chum say that you cannot go and carry Dalet Amis B'Shusarab. What happens if it's 3.999? Or what happens if it's 0.0001? Do you round it up? Do you round it down? Rabbi said, once the Chum give a Mida, that is it. Don't play around. Those are very exact numbers. And the Ritva goes and adds to the Toisvis that they were afraid by asking such questions of 1 foot over the 50 Amos. It's as if Rabbi Yirmiyah is undermining the shiurim shenosnu boi chacham. Once a chacham gave a shiur and they said that a dove doesn't hap more than 50 amas, that's it, boys. It doesn't go beyond 50 amas. By your saying, what happens if a dove that went beyond 50 amas, one little leg went over the 50 amma line? That's impossible, because the chachamim gave a rule 50 amas. By asking such questions, you're saying, well, maybe the chacham made a rule, but it's not really precise, and you don't have to follow it. You can go and kind of be makel a little bit more. It's only a fraction. No, Rabbi Sai. A shear is a shear. Don't play around with it. And that's the reason why Afkul Rebbe Smedish, and they throw him out, according to Tosis. By the way, for those of you that have mercy and pity on Reb Yirmiyah, we'll make him see at the end of the Masechta, it's I think in Daf Kuf Samach Hei, almost all the way at the end of Masechta, Yirmiyah was reinstated with full honors in the Beis Medrash. The question is, how long did that take from when they threw him out until they brought him back? So they say, B'Shem Rav Hirschsprung, Zechon Lebracha, it depends which yeshiva you learn in. If you learn in a Litvish yeshiva, it took him 3 years until he got back. If you're learning in a regular standard yeshiva, then it only took 3 months until he got back, until you got to Daf Kuf Samachay. As a Zokman. Okay, there's another story that I'd like to share with you. Well, let's first finish the Daf, and then I'll tell you a story which is fascinating based on this Gemara. Zokimor Vaita. Toshima. Again, we're trying to be Poshid Arshayil, the Gabi, the Korev, and the Roiv. Toshima Nimtze Bein Shnei Shreifches. We said in the Mishnah that if you find a pigeon in between two shayfreis, karvazeshalai, whichever one it's closer to. V'yavagav dechad minayu, nafish mechavrei. Even though, presumably, one shayvach has in it 1,000 pigeons, and the other shayvach only has in it 500 pigeons. But if they're karvazeh and karvazeh, what you do is figure out which one it's more karev to. Ah, didn't Rav Chanina say, roi v'karev holchen acher haroiv? So if one of the Tovkatz has 1,000, and the other one has 500. Who cares which one it's closer to? Shouldn't you go after the one that has the roiv, not after the one that is the karoiv? And for the Gemara, hachamayaskinon shishnei in shachin. It's talking about the Tovkatz are both about the same size, and therefore each one has approximately the same number. Each one holds 500 pigeons, both hold 1,000 pigeons, whatever it happens to be. So you can't go bus a roiv, so you go bus a karoiv. Because after all, in these two dovecots, you're right. There's a 500 pigeons here, 500 pigeons there. We go 10 miles away, and there's a dovecot that has 10,000 pigeons. So maybe the dove over here came all the way from there. Evrimor, how come I skin on? It's talking about Bishvil Shel Kromim. What means Bishvil Shel Kromim? That you had over here two dovecots, as we said before. And in between the two dovecots, we said, you have karav lezeh, karav lezeh. But we said, maybe it's coming from the outside. Connecting the two shayvchais, there was a shvil shel krom. Mind you, Rashi said in the Mishnah that the two dovecots were within 50 amas. However, Rashi here says that the hava mina is that the two dovecots were in fact more than 50 amas in between each other. Oh, if it's more than 50 amas, didn't we say that the medada, that the bird doesn't hop more than 50 amas? So just figure out which one it's closer to, and if it's out of the 50 amas of both of them, then it has to be mina oilam. I don't understand what's going on. Says the Gemara, Bishvil Shel Krom. What does that mean? Here, there's an exception to the rule, meaning that even though a pigeon normally only is medada, it only hops 50 amas. However, if it comes to a Shvil Shel Kromim, it feels it has a comfort zone. It's familiar with Kromim, with the vineyards, and therefore it will be medada more than the 50 amois. Aha! Okay, so now, still, let's go and see where it came from. Says the Gemara, however, once it goes beyond the 50 amois, because of its familiarity with the Shvil Shel Kromim, the Shvil Shel Kromim might cut off its vision from its original dovecot. Because he's gone so far, now the bird turns around, he doesn't find his original dovecot anymore. Says the Gemara, Shvil Shel Kromim den isa, den mi'alma osi, if you're going to tell me that it comes from a foreign place, not from the two dovecots, kimin den medadi, since we're talking about a bird that is happy, and it came from outside the area, even though it's more than 50 amois, and the reason is because of the Shvil Shel Kromim. Like Matzi Osni, you don't have to worry about it. The Chol de Medadi, the Hodr Chazal de Kine Medadi. Any one of these doves, as long as it's happy and it can turn around and see its original Khan, its original dovecot, then Medadi, it'll continue hopping along. The Loi, once it goes too far and no longer can go and see its original origins, loy medadi, it's not going to hop any longer. So therefore, if I find a dove which is hopping around over here, since that Shvil Shel Kromim divides between the far away dovecots than this one, you don't have to worry that the dove came from elsewhere. You can assume it came from here. So bottom line, what the Gemara is saying is a teretz similar to the Yoshevas Bein Haharim that we said by the ear, by the Egla Rufa, that just like the Ir Ben Aharim, it's secluded and Ratzchem typically don't get there. Says our Gemara, we're talking about that there was a, we would call it today, the Mexican Wall in honor of our dear former president, maybe soon to be our next president. You have this Mexican Wall that divides between other dovecots which are far away and the dovecots which are here closer. So you don't have to worry about that it comes me alma, because we're not talking about flying doves, we're talking about these hopping doves. These hopping doves, once they pass the Shulchan Krumim, it's a point of no return. They won't be able to go and find their way home. Therefore, if you find them here, it must be that these are locals and not that they came from far away. So that's the end of today's Gemara. We're going to bring more rayas tomorrow about Roy Vekarif. But I just wanted to tell you a story that my son Yechiel shared with me. And my son Yechiel told me that he already told this to me 7.5 years ago, and that he thinks he saw it in the Sefer Oz Nidburu, which is a Sefer of Rav Zilberstein. Rav Zilberstein is a very popular Rav in Eretz Yisrael, son-in-law of the late Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal. And he's written many Svarim. Many of the Svarim are on the Parshiyos, where he deals with a Shaila that someone asked him, and he brings Rayas to that Shaila from the local Parsha. Anyway, putting all of that aside, so Rav Zilberstein writes in one of his Svarim that the Imre Emes was the Ger Rebbe, who was the father of the three late Rebbes, that's the Beis Yisrael, and the Leif Simcha, and the Pnei Menachem, and he passed away during the 48 war, and they couldn't even take him to Har HaMenuches, or to Har HaZeisim, because of the war, and they buried him in the Yeshiva Sfas Emes, which is in Geula. You can even go to his kever today, and that's where he buried. Okay, Imre Emes was a great, great goyim. He was the son of the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes, as you know, has numerous svarim. The Imre Emes would have numerous svarim, but unfortunately he had to flee during the Second World War. They buried all the svarim under the ground, hoping to retrieve them after the war. They came back after the war, and they couldn't find any of them. So either they just couldn't find a hiding place, or they were destroyed. But Imre Emes is a goyim oyim. Anyway, so the story is told that in 46-47, the Gerib Besmedich in Yerushalayim was relatively small, not like today, that it can hold thousands of people, Kanayin Hara. It was a small Besmedich. And it came Rosh Hashanah, and people came from far and wide to be with the Rebbe, and there just wasn't enough room. So the Rebbe made an announcement that anybody that is 50 years or older should come in the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and anybody that's younger than 50 years should come in on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, fine. You're 50 or older, first day. You're younger than 50, second day. One Yid came to the Imre Emes, he knocked on the door and he said, Rebbe, I'm kereach mikan v'kereach mikan. My birthday is on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and then I'm going to be 50. So on day number one, I'm not 50 or older. I'm less than 50. On day number two, I'm 50 or older. So I can't come in on the first day or the second day. So the Ger Rebbe said, oh, valda afku mi beis medrash. Because of the 50 and the 50 on the both sides, they couldn't allow him to this medrash because he's too young for day one. He's too old for day number two. So on the spot, he showed to our Gemara that just like they threw Rabbi Yirmi out of this medrash, no, you can't come to this medrash because you're too old and you're too young. You can't go. But that's how I heard this story. My son says that Barry sent it out 7.5 years ago, a copy. So Barry, if you find the copy of the Oz Nidbru or whatever, please send it out again. That's all my son recalled. It could be that the story goes a little bit further, because if you look again at the Shaila, Boy Rabiyemi Ragli Achas Betoich Nun Amma, Ragli Achas, the first day of the Regel of course I know Rosh Hashanah is not called one Shleish Regolim, but it's still Regel Zayantah. So the Ragli Achas on the first day, Betoich Chamishim, I'm still within 50, I'm not over 50 years old, I'm only 49. And the second day, the Ragli Achas on the second day of the Regel, then I'm already Chutzmei Chamishim, it's already over 50. So what happens now? No, that's the Shaila Rabbi Yirmiyah. Afkum the Besmedish, there's no room for you in the Besmedish because you're Nishtahin and Nishtahin. So that's the story. Schusi Aganaleinu. Have a wonderful day. Again, Rabbi Yisai, barring.